Keith Mosier on a study called Husbands, Love Your Wives.
I want to read you something that a husband wrote who didn't value his wife until it was too late. Oh God, where is my right side? The one that I fell in love with when I was young. Oh God, where is my right side? The one I married, the one you said was bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And I took for granted. Oh God, where is my right side? The one who has the beautiful smile and laugh. I never told her every day. Oh God, where is my right side? The one who wanted me to hold her hand and put my arm around her and not just as a prelude to sex. Oh God, where is my right side? The one who loved you and prayed over our family. I didn't even lift her up in prayer, jump for joy when I felt her loving touch. Oh God, where is my right side? The one who wanted to be a wife and mother. Not the breadwinner and part-time father who handled the bills all alone. Oh God, where is my right side? The one who finally got tired and left because I couldn't or wouldn't be the man she wanted me to be. Oh God, where is my right side? I look for her now in the empty recesses of my life, not wanting to admit that I just didn't value her the way you wanted me to. Oh God, where is my right side? I know in my heart I found her once in the wife of my youth. And I know I can't win her back without you, so I pray for a second chance. I hope that a spark of love might blaze once more, 10 times greater than ever before, so that our lives together will be a powerful union for you. Value her, my friend, for what she is, and you'll win her love. Hunting and fishing buddies are fine to an extent. But every husband who heads out just when she's fixing dinner sends a message to her. I don't love you. Not really. Work becomes a competitor. And there is this dichotomy between the special person that she is and the way she's treated. Husbands, our wives feel loved by what we say to her. Today and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, you say to her audibly, I need you. I love you. I would not be what I am without you. Breakfast gets better. Lunch gets better. Dinner gets better. Your marriage gets better. Do you wives know what it means when your husband says to you in answer to one of your questions, "Of course I love you"? Means he's watching football, right? How come you had to ask him? Talk to her. She's another spirit, not just a creature. Robertson wrote in his book on the home, "The intention of that bond is to perfect the nature of both. She supplements my deficiencies, I supplement hers. And we need to be talking to her. And when I fail to do that, I break her down physically, psychologically, and socially. She feels put down, and she will try to get even. And do you know how she tries to get even? She nags you. It's her way of saying, you're not talking to me. You're not sharing yourself with me. Well, I just bought my... A guy told me one time he just got a new car for his wife. I said, how'd you make a trade like that? But he thought that giving her cars or giving her things was the way to go. I said, she doesn't want those things, and you ask her if she does. She wants you. Well, I don't ever tell my wife about my work because I don't want to burden her with all my problems. That's exactly what she wants to hear. She wants to share you. What do you feel? What are your fears? What are your dreams? There was a television show that went off the air several years ago called Everybody Loves Raymond. And they portrayed very clearly the misfunction, the malfunction that goes on between husbands and wives because they don't understand one another. And I want to encourage every husband here to become an MVP in the NFL. And I don't mean the National Football League. We need to learn to be MVPs in the needs and feelings and love of our wives. That's NFL, folks. And that is going to be our goal. And how do I reach that goal? If I realize that there's a need, how do I reach it? Everybody have a New Testament? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Had a lady come in my office years ago. She said, I don't love my husband anymore. I said, well, you're going to have to learn how to love him. She said, you can't learn to love someone. Yes. God said we could. And we can begin to practice all of these characteristics of love mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 13. And once we begin to practice these characteristics of being loving, then we are starting to approach the goal that we want to have in our marriages. This divine love causes a husband to love his wife. Practice it. Be long-suffering. Don't be one who boils over. Acts unseemly. Unselfishly. There are at least 8 ways that a husband can hurt his wife by not practicing agape. And I have an idea if I ask the wives in this audience this morning, what are some of the criticisms you hear, you could tell me. But one of the ways I hurt my wife more than any other is by frequently criticizing her. A second way is by not paying attention to her words and ideas. I've already talked about that. A third way is by not assuming enough of the household responsibilities. What'd you say, Keith? I said by not assuming some of the household responsibilities. Here's one, and I don't know if we realize that we hurt our wives when we do this. Let me illustrate it this way. Dorothy, you know, we men operate from our left side all the time. Did you know that, Cliff? We're all over here on this logic side. Testosterone did that to us just before we were born. It poured down over our brains and made us males, unfortunately. And so when information comes to us, it comes over here first. When it comes to her, it comes to both sides at the same time. So here she is trying to explain something to you, and you will immediately try to explain it away in a logical way. Let me illustrate it. Dorothy came home one day and she said, I just wrecked the car. And my logical brain went into activity. I said, number one, are you hurt? No. Number two, is the car totaled? No. Is the other person hurt? No. Do we have insurance? Yes. Can we fix the car? Yes. I had it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all settled. I went back to read the paper. She went to get the frying pan. Because I was trying to explain away her situation rather than empathizing with what she said. She said, I wrecked the car. My response as a husband who loved his wife should have been to walk over there and grab her and hug her and tell her I was so glad she wasn't killed because I can't do without her. Because that's what she said to me. She didn't tell me she wrecked the car. She said, aren't you glad I'm still alive? I had to interpret it because she speaks in female. And you sisters can help us out here, incidentally. How many of you have ever said to your husband, you know what you did? We don't know what we did. Tell us. You have to explain it to us. And we will in turn try to explain away your hurt. And that's where the trouble starts. Pay attention to her feeling. See if you can hear it. It'll make the love much deeper. Another way we hurt our wives is acting superior as if she is inferior. I was actually in a debate with a man from Harding University who was teaching his students that women are inferior to men. Michael, if she's inferior to us, why did God command her to submit herself? Now, a dog doesn't have to submit itself to me. It's just inferior. She's not inferior. In fact, in a lot of ways, she's far superior because she can submit herself, take that second-in-command position, and remain faithful to the Lord. I'm not very good at that. The Lord submitted Himself to the Father, but the Lord is not inferior to the Father. We just have different roles. And we don't want to act as if we were superior and she was inferior. Another way I hurt my wife is by showing preference to others over her. And one last thing I want to mention here. Is there a floral shop in this town? Is there a place that sells flowers? Because one of the ways we hurt our wives is by not trying to add romance to the marriage. Every week of my life, I call my wife and ask her for a date. What did you say, Keith? I'm married. I don't have to go. I want you to tell me how you won her. Michael, I hope you're not like that guy that said, I told my wife I loved her when we got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let her know. You like that? You ever just slip a note somewhere where she'll find it? A rose on the counter? An unexpected gift? How did you win her? I heard about a guy who said, oh, honey, I'd climb the highest mountain for you. I'd swim the widest river, and I'll see you tomorrow night if it doesn't rain. It won't be like that. I'm married now, but I'm married to my girlfriend. And I need to try to add romance to the marriage. That's what we do when we reach the goal of agape. We need to raise our intimacy level this way. We need to build a strong bridge to intimacy. Gary Smalley, who does a lot of marriage seminars, says that this bridge of intimacy has five pillars. He says the first pillar is a warm blanket of love. We've talked about that. Because love is a decision, not a feeling. 1 Corinthians 13. The second is communication. I talked about that. Pillar number three is we create romantic moods, unexpected gifts, dates, notes, poems. Elizabeth Browning wrote one time, how do I love thee? I love thee, let me count the ways. Solomon, who was the greatest human lover of all time, said, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. That's a romantic fellow. Song 1:5. Solomon wrote, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy veil. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Now you can relate to that, Michael. That appear from Mount Gilead, Song 4:1. This is a romantic fellow. He's building intimacy, creating a romantic mood. How many of you know why we have grandparents? That's where you send the children when you want to go away for a weekend. That's exactly why. And grandchildren are our reward for not killing our children, so we like to get them once in a while. Create a romantic mood. Number four pillar, a meaningful touch. Many of the couples that I counsel won't touch one another until 11 o'clock at night. Bad situation. I had a couple come in my office, and their biggest communication was they yelled at each other all the time. And so I gave them a little exercise. I said, turn your chairs and face one another. Put your knees together. They did. I said, hold hands. I said, now don't talk. Do not talk until I get back. And I stayed away an hour. And here they sat. They hadn't touched each other like that. Maybe never. When I came back, I think they were still in love. They were holding on to each other anyway. Yelling at each other when they went out, they were holding hands. When Dorothy and I do marriage seminars at camps, on Friday night, we ask everyone to hold hands. You ought to see this, Brother Wood. Now, these are some couples been married 25, 30, 35, 40 years, and it looks like this. A lot of times, they don't want... And I tell them, you have to hold hands the whole weekend, and if I see you and you're not holding hands, you have to pay a fine. So here they are holding hands. When was the last time you just hold hands with your wife? The fifth pillar, he says, is building self-esteem in my wife. You know, your wife has a great memory. Did you know that? Brother Cawley told that about the fellow that got his wife got historical every time they had an argument. They have great memories. They remember everything. My wife can remember what we were wearing when we were dating. I can't remember dating. They have great memories. But this is a problem. Every time we have a battle, she's going to remember something ugly I said, if I said something ugly. And so I hurt her self-esteem. And so I need to be extremely gentle and positive here if I'm going to love her the way God wants me to love her. I need to be extremely sensitive and extremely loving and extremely gentle. Well, we need to remain faithful. We need to remain faithful. Love your wives until the death, the Bible says. There is a need for this. We need to realize what she wants. We need to love them until we die. And if we do it the way God wants us to do it, a wonderful thing happens. When I was a little boy, I had the job of going down to the cellar to get my mother whatever she wanted from the shelf down there where she had her canned goods. We didn't have a basement. We had a cellar. It had a dirt floor. It was under the house. It was cooler down there, and so we could keep our canned goods. On one occasion, she told me to get some preserves, and I ran down there. I hated that job because there were cobwebs and it was dark. I'd run down underneath there and I'd grab something off the shelf. And I got one and took it back upstairs and the lid had rusted on this particular one. Been down there a long time, evidently. She finally got it off. It had been on the shelf so long that the preserves had turned to sugar. If we do it the way God wants us to do it, by seeing the need and noticing these extreme differences between ourselves and taking the lead, husbands, the communication lead, the longer we stay together, the sweeter it gets. Thank you very much for your kind attention this morning.